with marketers, we're testing. You were commenting earlier of like, I failed for 6 or 7 years. I was like, oh, it was learning. You know, you're either winning or you're learning, and taking those things. I mean, we do it all the time with my team of trying to find the right partner firms to come and be affiliated with IAA.
I'm Garrett Lale. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast, bringing the latest industry trends and best practices to financial advisors from leaders of the top firms in the financial services industry.
The one that I heard of his, at least, there was no intro. It was like he's just talking to his guest casually in the studio there, and there's mm-hmm. I guess it was kind of like a subtle flex, like, I'm Rogan, you know who I am, you know my podcast, you probably know my guests, we're not announcing anything. So, well, thanks for coming on. I will introduce you to listeners and viewers. David Buzo, the Chief Marketing Officer with Independent Advisor Alliance. Thank you for taking some time out to chat with me. I was really looking forward to this. We had a great conversation at the soccer game back in October, and mm-hmm. I was like, man, he would be a great podcast guest. So I'm glad we're able to work it out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Glad to be here and getting as big as ratings as Joe Rogan.
Yeah, hopefully so. Yeah, we're just behind him a couple of spots, I think, on the top 25 list. So you had sent me over this white paper that you're working on to kind of review ahead of the show. And I'm trying to find it here because I was reading through it this morning. A lot of really cool little tidbits on that. I think I could probably have a, 10-15 minute conversation on everything that you sent me here. So hang on, let me pull them up here. So kind of give the backdrop of that a little bit and describe the white paper that you just, or the white paper that you're working on from the survey that you sent out to your advisors, and what kind of motivated you to do that, and what was the process behind collecting all this information you sent me?
Yeah, great question. So I've spent the last decade plus in the industry working with financial advisors, specifically in the marketing space. And I have a lot of anecdotal information, but I didn't really have any stats to tie to it. And so with our 141 plus partner firms out there, we sent a survey around their marketing strategies, priorities, budgets, actually their tactics. So what are they using as far as traditional and digital, and how do they think about marketing? What's the priority? And I did this for a couple reasons. First, to just understand them better and to be able to tie it all together. Second was to be able to give them any kind of benchmarking and share this out and go, here's where people are and you're here, or you're here, wherever you are, so you can see where you are against your peers. And then last is with Independent Advisor Alliance of, us wanting to help business owners execute their vision. What kind of new products, services, solutions could we create out of this? Because I wanted to see if there's any gaps that I know that the advisors out there should be doing, but for whatever reason, if it's cost, lack of strategy, time, being overwhelmed with all the options, if I could say, here you go, because you said this, here's our solution to help get you to where you want to go.
It's funny. I don't remember if I'd told you this story at the soccer game or not, but I had one of the bullet points that you sent me over for this was paid advertising underutilization, mm-hmm. basically, that only 12% of advisors leverage paid digital strategies like LinkedIn, Google, and Facebook. And mm-hmm. I read that and it just prompted me. It reminded me of kind of what got me into digital marketing in the first place, or kind of piqued my interest into getting into that side of it a little bit. When I was an advisor, I was dating somebody who was a digital marketing person, and she mm-hmm. told me that I should do digital marketing for my business. And I just kind of scoffed at it. I was like, whatever, nobody's going to invest the kind of money that I want them to invest off of a Facebook ad or a Google search ad or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, she, told me why I was wrong, and I told her she didn't know what she was talking about and whatnot. So fast forward a couple of years, and I start to notice that it's amazing to me how accurate the ads are in my Instagram feed. It's like I look up how to start a website and it's on my computer, and then I get on Instagram on my phone 10 minutes later and there's an ad popped up for, hey, if you want to start, mm-hmm. if you're looking to start a website, here's, you know, we can help you. And I was just kind of blown away by it. So I started kind of thinking, still in my mind as an advisor at the time, I'm thinking, okay, I still don't think anybody's going to invest money based on a digital ad, but I had the bright idea of I'm going to come up with something that they will buy digitally mm-hmm. and try to sell that instead. And, you know, 7 years of failure later, here I am. It's taken me a lot of trial and error to kind of figure that out myself. But I have 100% experienced that very statistic myself and talking to advisors, because advisors may think digital marketing is effective, but for whatever reason, I think advisors know digital marketing is effective. But in your survey, I think kind of starts to uncover a little bit of the why behind that answer. Only, you know, 82% are not using it at all. Mm-hmm. And you kind of dig into the rest of the survey of why that is.
Yeah. And I found a couple of reasons of why advisors are either reluctant or not active. The most obvious one is just like, I don't know where to start. I could tell you back in the day, I mean, I'm talking maybe like 2014, 2015, when I was working at another company and wanted to create an instructional document for advisors of how to execute Facebook ads. And, you know, this, all the research, the step-by-step, the screenshots, because you need a lot of detail in something like that, sending it over to the marketing team to make sure that the branding's right and everything, that we would have our company name on it, sending over to compliance for their review. And by the time that I went to get it out, Facebook had changed what the layout had looked like. So everything that we had done, we had to scrap. It never even went. No one even saw it outside of like the 10 of us. So there's a constant movement and change in things. I would say that's the first one. Second one is on the ROI side. So it's kind of someone who's got to be the trailblazer and do it. And then to tell their peers like, yeah, I got X amount of leads from this, as you know, it's just the shiny new object that comes out from a conference or whatever. So anything on the efficacy and the ROI that would come from doing any kind of digital ad spend. Another one might be the compliance consideration, that depending on what the firm rules are and, you know, what your RIA or your broker dealer, whatever affiliation would allow for you to do. Some don't allow it. We do at IAA with depending on what kind of affiliation model that you have. But they might be afraid of what to say. And also the compliance part of what to say, but then also from a marketing and copywriting and creative is how do you take it from what my problem is that my my target has to what my solution is, and then how do I say that to them in plain English? And, you know, they're doom scrolling, they're just on there in the morning, you know, lunchtime, in the evening, on their phones all the time and just scrolling through. How do you get something that is so thought-provoking and thumb-stopping that will make them click onto something and take whatever action that it is? So it could even be, okay, I want to do Facebook ads. Well, what am I going to promote? Is it an event? Is it an ebook? It's probably not going to be just schedule time with me. So knowing all of those things and also having the budget, can I afford to do it? So those are the things that I saw from the survey that were stopping people from being active in digital advertising.
Yeah. And again, drawing from my experience from it, one of the things that, and when I first tell this story now, it's so stupid, and I know it's so stupid, but even as dumb as it sounds, I do think that there is an element of this that's still present with the advisor mindset now. I was selling a $25 product. I thought right. that my cost per conversion would be $3, but mm-hmm. I knew there was going to be a learning curve. So I went into it saying, okay, well, we'll see how long it takes me to get a conversion. And finally, after I'd spent like $200, I was like, okay, well, if it costs me $200 to get a conversion, then this isn't going to be profitable anyway. So never mind, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward, you know, all this time, what I've learned now is that cost per conversion is an aggregate cost per conversion over a very long period of time. The reality is you're probably going to spend quite a bit before you actually convert the first one. The second one's going to be cheaper. The third one's going to be cheaper. And, you know, thousands of conversions later, it averages itself back out to that three or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of advisors, again, from my personal experience with it, and from talking with other advisors as well, even if they understand that part of it, they go into it understanding we're going to build a process, it's going to take time, and they mm-hmm. know that. but then they get 1, 2, 3 months into the process and they might take the example that I gave you, add a couple of zeros to it, and that might be the advisor's experience, but they've spent $10,000 now and not really seen any traffic, so they don't stick with it. Is that a part of the gap in what's going on with advisors, or are they not even getting to that point? I mean, based on the survey, they're not even getting to that point. They're not even trying in the first place.
Yeah. I believe that the way that it was worded was in the last 12 months, have you been active in digital advertising? So there's completely the possibility that they've done something in the past. They dipped their toe in the water. They didn't see success. But the thing that I would compare that to is, hey, I want to get in shape. I'm going to go and run. And then you go and run one time and you're like, I'm not in shape. This doesn't work. Why isn't this working? I'm not going to do it because it doesn't work. So the same kind of mentality is like with marketers, we're testing. You were commenting earlier of like, I failed for 6 or 7 years. It's like, oh, it was learning. You know, you're either winning or you're learning, and taking those things. I mean, we do it all the time with my team of trying to find the right partner firms to come and be affiliated with IAA. Is, hey, we're going to do LinkedIn ads. Is it an image? Is it a carousel? Is it a PDF? And it's 20 pages, but you only get the first three, and then you got to download it to get the rest. So we're finding, what is the most attractive way for advisors to find out information about us? Same thing with advisors talking to who their target client is. It's testing. I mean, is it going to be that that meaty ebook about you know, living through retirement, and it's everything you need to know from healthcare to are you going to outlive your savings to anything else? Or is it going to be something about the benefits of what you do compared to something that's very focused on what a problem that they have that, you know, that they're targeting? So it's a lot of testing, I think. And my hunch is, though, I guess if I could do it over, I would word the question differently in the survey, but have you ever been active in it? Because my guess is no, that people haven't even taken that leap.
Another element that you covered that's maybe changing topics or shifting gears just a little bit here. 58% of advisors handle marketing in-house. Mm-hmm. And I even thought your data was a little bit, might even understate that a little bit, because 17% had an employee doing it as part of their job, and another 3% had an in-house employee as their only job, like a chief marketing officer, a director of marketing. Mm-hmm. So if you add all of those together, it's something, you know, I don't know, quick math, 78% are doing it somehow within their organization, where only 20% are using an outside agency. So I think, and I want to get your feedback on this, what, you know, if you agree or would disagree with this, I think to some extent there's a lack of trust from advisors and using third-party agencies and outsourcing that, because I have heard a ton of stories of people who dropped 5, 10, 15 grand and saw nothing. And to be fair, you don't know what you're getting necessarily. There's not a ton of transparency in what the marketing agent is doing for you and what you're paying for. But at the same time, the advisors typically, some advisors are, but typically advisors are not going to have creativity as their strong suits, right? We're analytically natured. We're, you know, dollars and cents, and we're good at that side of the brain, but probably not the creative side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had the exact same experience with spending 3 hours learning how to do this YouTube ad or Google ad or Facebook ad. And then next week, when I go to do it again, they've totally changed the process, or they've added some other new wrinkle, and I've got to spend 3 hours learning that too. And I don't have the time as an advisor, or didn't have the time as an advisor, and a lot of advisors don't have the time to learn that, and they sure as heck don't have time to learn it and then relearn it every time Google or Facebook has a new widget come out and a new bell and whistle on it. So there's a need to offload that to someone else. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lack of trust, I think, in knowing who to offload it to.
Yeah, I agree with that completely, because if you think about, especially the independent financial advisor, of the mental makeup of that person, they probably started at a wirehouse and broke away and went independent, or they came up, you know, and broke out on their own. Is they want to have autonomy. They want to be the decision maker. They want to be the business owner, and they want to be the one that's in control. And often it's that, unwillingness to delegate or let go, you know, to let go of the vine. So I think that that is part of it, is wanting to have control over everything, but then not understanding or not believing in marketing growing their practice outside of referrals, which is actually the name of the white paper of Beyond Referrals, of this entire different methodology of you can grow your practice outside. I mean, referrals are fantastic. There's nothing more powerful than I know a guy. So I don't want to go away from that. But when I talk to advisors and they say like, oh, 92% of my business comes from referrals, it's like, well, of course it will, because you're not doing anything else. So why would someone, like, they're just not going to, like, you know, walk into your office, be like, are you guys financial advisors? Because I was looking for one. Like, and they're just walking down the street. So I think understanding that, and if they really felt like it was an investment, and that's part of the white paper, is like looking at it, at marketing as an expense versus an investment, that I think that people would be more likely to let go of the vine and outsource or hire. Or the biggest takeaway is, like, you've got enough on your plate, and think about it from your client's perspective. Would they want to know how much time you as a solo advisor is focusing on marketing, like creating videos, copywriting, and things like that, versus are you paying attention to the markets? Are you listening to me? And are you responsive to my emails? And, like, you should be delegating and acting like that business owner. And most of the advisors I've spoken with, they said that the best part of their job is talking to their clients. So let's free up the rest of your time and allow you to spend time with your clients. And that can be done with, you know, outsourcing, hiring, and they're all going to have different degrees of success. And that's where I got a little bit more interested in the, there was two big groups that came out from the survey of people that deemed marketing essential as their practice. And that, so that's one group versus the non-essential. And then advisors over 100 million AUM and those that are below, and how they view marketing and how that they answer for it. And 65% of the advisors under 100 million are doing marketing themselves, compared to only 41% of the over 100 million. So I think it can also be a little bit of the chicken or the egg thing of, well, did they grow that way because they outsourced, or are they able to outsource because they grew that much and, you know, they'd have more revenue? I'm not sure what the answer is there, but I know that there is a correlation between how you view marketing, and if it's essential, you're going to get somebody else to do it.
Yeah. Well, and when, I'm not sure which of these two questions I want to ask first, they kind of go hand in hand in a way, but you can answer this maybe with some specific real life success stories, or you can just describe the process. I think both are effective, mm-hmm. But what does success look like in digital marketing, in terms of, you know, what's the process behind the success, and when do you see results? Because I will say, mm-hmm. I've not achieved it myself, but I've heard firsthand stories from a ton of firms that bring in a ton of new AUM on a regular basis from a successful digital marketing program, and I see how it can be effective. Mm-hmm. But what is the process to getting there? What does it look like?
Yeah, I kind of laugh because at the, I don't know when this will run, but later in a couple of weeks, I'm doing an interactive workshop with some of our advisors to actually come up with that one page marketing plan. It is a very simplified view of a more sophisticated approach. But what I'm going to be covering is, let's start with your business fundamentals of just identifying what your core values, your mission statement, what your unique selling points are compared to any kind of like competition that's out there for the client, which could be doing nothing at all. Like, oh, I'm just going to manage my own money, or I'm not even going to, you know, be a part of that, or go with a robo solution, or whatever it is. So the first part is defining all of that, and then making sure that you know what your target market is. And the easiest way that I like to think about that is, think about who your favorite client is. And when I was working with somebody on this, they're like, well, my first thought was, all of them. They're all great. And it was like, actually, no, this one calls me a lot. This one's not responsive. This one doesn't do the things that I suggest that they do that I can't do on their behalf. So you're going to have favorites, and then figure out why are they your favorite? Like, is there any kind of commonality, if you think of a couple people, of what makes, is it an industry? Is it some kind of demographic information? Is it some kind of psychographics of whatever you want to be able to target? And then you create that persona of here's who I want to target. So you need all those like fundamentals of knowing what makes me me and who do I want to work with, and then think about what those pain points are. So, you know, for me, it might be I've got two early teenagers, I guess. It could be around education funding, you know, who's paying for college, because that number is getting close. My parents are getting older. We're talking about estate planning. So whatever those pain points are, and then how do I solve for it? And within, you know, in plain English. So that's like all the fundamental stuff. And then once you know who that target is, where do they live? And what I mean by live doesn't mean like, oh, they live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, how are they spending their time? I was on my son's on the AAU circuit for basketball, and I was riding with my parents to one of the tournaments. And I think my mom was on Facebook on her phone the entire time. So it's like, you know, if that's going to be your target market, that's where they live, compared to, you know, my son's on TikTok and Snapchat, not financial services platforms. But it's like, why would you create like a TikTok style video for a pre-retiree?
Right.
So understanding what that mix is, and the root of your question of like the time to see those results and to see like the new AUM coming in, it's a horrible answer, but it really varies because it depends on where your starting point is. Some people might be starting with 1,000 LinkedIn connections, and we just need to better optimize them and connect with them directly. Other ones, my team's working on this week of creating a company page that they've never had a social media presence before. Like they're saying, hey, I want to run a marathon, but I'm out of breath walking up the stairs. And then another one is, hey, I want to run a marathon and I can already run a 8-minute mile. So one of them is a lot farther along than the other. So that's a really bad non-answer for you.
Well, it does. Yeah, you've got to build. It's kind of like saying, how long is it going to build the house? Well, it depends on how much you've already gotten built. If you've already laid the foundation and done a lot of the work, then you're going to speed that you're going to shorten the growth curve, I guess is what I'm trying to say. One of your questions in the survey was on budgeting, and 14% or 42% had no defined budget, and 14% said that they spend, but they don't measure it. Those are almost the same thing in a way. Maybe one measured it, but they just didn't go into it with a plan. But basically, 56% don't really have much of a plan for that. 31% were 1 to 5, at the risk of maybe asking the barber if I need a haircut here. I understand this is your game, but what is the the best answer, right? how much should firms be spending?
Yeah, great question. I would say a general rule of thumb, if you're growth-minded, it's going to be around 8 to 10% of your revenue. If you're hyper focused, I would say it can go up to 15%. And I would say that with the caveat of that doesn't mean that you should be walking around bragging that you spent $30,000 on a website. Like, you still want to be cost effective. But you mentioned one of my favorite phrases in marketing, of the customer acquisition cost of, is it aligning with what you're spending? Like, you need to know where your sales funnel is of, and you can start backward of, I want to get one new client per month. Okay, one. I close half of them, so I need to get two people in the office. And then when I actually talk to people, 25% of them go from I talk to them to setting an appointment. So you can keep going up, how many people do I need to actually reach? And then making sure that you're putting the money behind that. It doesn't mean that you should be, you know, wasting 30 grand on a website and maybe, you know, having six different third-party lead generation service subscriptions, but making sure that you're doing it appropriately. And usually it's people underspending, not overspending. And on that question, when I was talking about that, the two different groups that I saw that come out of it, the people that deemed marketing as essential to their practice, for the no defined budget, if it's essential, only 25% said that they don't have a budget, and almost half of the people that were deemed it not essential don't have a defined budget. So you can see that mental part of it too, of if it's important, I'm going to measure it. Same way of if closing rates or AUM or number of households or clients are important, you're going to measure it. You're going to know it off the top of your head. You can probably call most of the advisors you know and say, how many clients do you have? And they'll, or AUM, and they'll probably tell you to like within $10 of where they are. Same thing with your budget. There is a surprising amount that just don't pay attention to it because they don't think that it's important.
And it's funny to me when you talk about analytics and measurement for advisors. You know, I said that advisors tend to lack on the creative side, maybe more so than the analytics side. But that actually is one of the things that I find very surprising, because if you are analytically minded, digital marketing is like a data supermine of information that you can get. And it's interesting, too, because you can learn a lot of things from your. OK, I'll use this as an example. If you've got this really awesome marketing slogan that you came up with and you just think it's the greatest thing ever and it completely flops, well, then here's a thought. Maybe you don't need to use that line in your meetings with clients either. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can take the data from the quantitative data can become very good qualitative data as well to use in your meetings and your interactions with clients. Mm-hmm. But I think about when I first started my career, and whatever firm advisors are with now, there's a good chance that they experienced some version of this earlier in their career. My firm was in teaching me the business where you make this amount of calls a day, you make this amount of contacts per day. If you make this number of contacts, you will convert on average this amount of new clients, and the new clients are going to have this much revenue and or this much in assets. And then those assets are going to generate this much in fees or commissions. And this is how this is how much money you're going to make. So top to bottom, there was a very, very, very strong correlation in the number of attempts that I made and the amount of money that I made. And the firm knew that, and you learned what that number looked like. Nick Murray wrote about it in his book, Finding Your End, knowing how many people you have to call to make $1,000, right? And that same thing that advisors are so familiar with, that entire sales process, takes place in the digital world the exact same way. It's just much easier to track and get a lot more information back from your failure, so to speak. Like you said, I love that line. That's probably gonna be the title of the show. You're learning or you're winning or you're learning. Because on every single one, you either learn something that you can do better or that you can change or that you can improve, or it's successful. So that's the irony in it a lot of times to me. And when I see advisors underutilizing it, is that if they understood that and really took the time to dig into it, it's that's a pro. At the same time, it can also be really easy for those advisors who are trying to do it themselves to get bogged down for 25 hours analyzing data that maybe doesn't need to be analyzed that deeply. So it can be sort of a double-edged sword there in a way, but it is such an effective way to learn more about your own business and also refine your process, your marketing process, to make it more effective over time. And guys like you know that, right? The people that do that as just their day-to-day job, that is what you do. But the advisors, I think, a lot of times don't realize that the reason that every time I get on Instagram, the ads are effective is because the marketers have learned over time, the ones that I'm not going to buy have learned over time not to put it in front of me, right? And the ones that are effective are the ones who've learned that I know they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that, what you're mentioning of tying that all together of with that customer acquisition cost, and even if it was like Facebook ads, of like, let's just test out and see if this works. And a lot of and this is even how I got into digital marketing, is that I've always been in marketing and I'm a data nerd. I'm always looking at numbers, and everything that I wanted to do from marketing, I wanted to have a number to tie to it. You know, as much as I'm a fan of traditional marketing, especially in my previous industry where you do things like billboards, I can't see how many people actually drove by it and how many people like clicked, like they saw it. So my impressions and my clicks, like I can see all of that, like where my reach, what was my impression. So like, oh, I drive up 77 North every single day. So, you know, I'm seeing it 7 times a week. You know, to know what your impression, your reach, your clicks, and then like put that into a sales funnel and see what your conversions are, all the way down to, I got X amount of clients off of this, and you know, hopefully that you've got attractive enough of an offer that you're getting the leads off of it, and then you're following them up, and then you're bringing them in and closing and going, hey, I brought in this, this new client with X amount of assets, and I spent $500 on a LinkedIn ad. I mean, what's the ROI on that of getting one new client off of that? It's huge. And even if it doesn't, you're still getting that awareness and that recognition that you really can't get other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's fascinating too, that as you learn that, I mean, and you refine, you get it, and you're more successful with it. Mm-hmm. Once you know, my cost per conversion is $5, right?
Right.
Or whatever the number is, even if it's, you know, $500 to get a new, you know, $10,000 a year account. Once you know what that is, then you start to see that it is an investment and not an expense, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. right? Now you're starting to figure out what costs can I cut to put more money into marketing, and how can I make sure that we're growing, you know, not growing too fast? Can we keep up with the demand of all of this? So I think advisors can pretty intuitively see how it can be successful. It is that mm-hmm. lack of time and expertise that kind of sets it up. And I didn't even mean to do this, but this is going to actually segue perfectly into my big finish, actually, because I love the way IAA solves for this problem for clients. And that's a part that you play a huge, you know, obviously very vital role in that solution for your independent brand and your partner firms. Mm-hmm. So describe what IAA does for your partner firms and the offering that you have for advisors to listen to this, because it is a really cool. If I don't want to do it in-house and I don't know who to trust outside, IAA is the perfect solution to that.
Thanks for the creative capital plug. So our creative capital team is our internal part, a division of our marketing team that supports our financial advisors. So we believe in that, you know, helping you execute your vision. So that's one of the cool parts of our flat fee and our affiliation model, is that out of the box, like no extra cost, is all the consulting and strategy. So that's actually, between you and I, my favorite part of my job is talking to advisors and say, and like helping them, like when I can see that light bulb go off, especially if we're on video, of like something resonated with them, of like identifying their target market or coming up with that strategy or whatever that plan is going forward. And whatever information that I share with them, they can take it or leave it. But if they want to have help on the execution side, then my team can do that for them. And that's what Creative Capital does. That it's anything from transactional things like, hey, I want to create a landing page for my website or update a brochure or whatever, or ongoing strategy and digital marketing services where we actually execute everything digital on their behalf. So solving for all those people that are either doing it themselves or they've got somebody doing it full-time or part-time. We're not here to take anyone's jobs. We're really here to just supplement. So if there's anything that we can do that, like, we can't do local things, we can't do client things, just because of the scale and, you know, being not in their office. So if there's other things like managing all their digital marketing aspects, we can take care of that for them. We've done a tremendous amount of projects in the last, I'd say, 18 months, from creating new brands, launching new websites, specific campaigns of, hey, me and my advisor partner, we want to be able to recruit a junior advisor. What should we do there? It's like, well, we're going to stand up a microsite that's completely separate from your clients so that you can target who that next gen advisor is or whatever their goals are. And doing that strategy and consulting piece and finding out what is their end objective. And I say, like, Garrett, let's say we fast forward 6 months and we're popping champagne bottles because of the success. Why is it successful? And they'll say, like, hey, we brought on that next gen advisor. We brought in 5 new clients that are at X assets, like whatever it is. Like, okay, now we're going to work backward and figure out how we're going to get there. So helping them just get that direction to make sure that whatever it is, from client communication to building a brand to client acquisition, that's what we're here to do to help.
Awesome stuff, man. Well, really, really appreciate your time, David. Thanks for coming on. This is a great conversation. I knew it would be. I've been, like I said, looking forward to this one. So definitely appreciate that. If you are an advisor interested in looking for another solution, maybe for your marketing efforts. Now, David and his creative capital team are for Independent Advisor Alliance partner firms. But if you are happen to also be considering a new environment for your business, feel free to reach out to me. My information's in the description, as always, and you can give me a call. And I would be happy to introduce you to the folks over there. But really, really cool way that you go about your business over there at IA. I love you guys, and I think it's a really good option for firms that are out there. But what you're doing on the creative capital side is just super cool, because there are so many advisors out there that fit exactly the description that you uncovered in your data, right? Mm-hmm. That they're just not they know it's a good idea, but they don't know how to start. So
yep, that's what we're here for.
Well, thank you for sharing your nearly infinite wisdom with us. I do appreciate it, man, and hope you have a great rest of your week, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. Thanks, David.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Advisor Advocates podcast. Really appreciate it. If I can't help you in any way, please feel free to give me a call at 919-561-2436 or send me an email at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com. Or feel free to use my calendar link, which will be listed in the description below. Thanks again for your time. See you next time.